Okay, our next session has to do with virtual talk shows and sports production. In your brochure, it says it has Kurt Harnack and Joe Talbot. Joe will not be here today. It'll just be Kurt Harnack. And you get double pleasure because at lunch we had Kurt. Now we have Kurt for our first session after lunch. So, Kurt brings over 35 years of hands-on experience in broadcast engineering and education to his position at Telus Alliance. His experience has driven notable expansion in the IP audio, voiceover IP for broadcasting, and other new technology adoptions by audio content creators. Hopefully I didn't mess that up too much for you, Kirk. Sorry. Kirk remains active in broadcast engineering at South Seas Broadcasting Incorporated and Delta Radio LLC. Kirk is a certified meteorologist, private pilot, and licensed general class amateur radio operator. He is a member, currently is a member on the Society of Broadcast Engineers Board of Directors, and is also the program chair for the SBE Chapter 103 in Nashville. Kirk also is a founder and host of the Internet Video Netcast, This Week in Radio Tech, a one-hour weekly show on Thursdays. Please, my pleasure to introduce Kirk.
And just a programming note, because on Thursday, when we normally do This Week in Radio Tech, I'm going to be on a plane going home. So we're doing the show today at 4 p.m. Central Time in front of the SBE booth, although SBE doesn't know that yet. And hey, if they kick us out, we'll do it in front of somebody else's booth. But we have good internet, and we're going to have sports headsets. So if you want to come join us and just say hi and talk for a few minutes, we'd love to have you come over and chat about whatever engineering topic you're passionate about. That's what we like to do on This Week in Radio Tech. If you don't know about the show, thisweekinradiotech.com. The show airs live, typically on Thursdays at 5 Eastern, 4 Central. It's on Facebook Live, and it's also at our producer's website, gfqlive.tv. GFQ stands for Guys from Queens. But they have everything from wrestling to comic books to radio engineering. All right. Well, I'm delighted to be here, and I'm really sorry that Joe Talbot couldn't be here. He was planning on it, and I'm not exactly sure what came up. They send him all different places on different installations and things. Last I heard, he was in Singapore. I think he's back from that, but anyway, he couldn't be here today. But that's okay, because he and I together wrote this presentation, so I think I got it. All right. So if, let's see here. Clickety-click. There we go. All right. Well, you know, for decades, producing a radio show has generally required that equipment and talent and producers and talk show systems, including call screeners, that they all be in the same studio or at least close by in the same building. And while many broadcasters do go out on remote or outside broadcast, as many call it outside the U.S., the actual remote site connection has typically been limited to one-way or maybe, if you're lucky, a two-way audio communication. Telephone-connected remote broadcasts have been the standard for many broadcasters, but nowadays, well, it's often the method of last resort. Telephone connections certainly are easy enough to come by, but the audio quality tends to irritate listeners, especially if you have a long-form broadcast going on. Aside from remote talent audio, it's been difficult, if not impossible, to have any other functions performed outside the main studio. Call screeners, producers, board operators, they've needed to be where the equipment is at the main studio. The main studio centricity is something that engineers and content creators have accepted as the norm, and as such, we don't often consider that there may be newer alternatives to that production model. Now, sometimes a show host could be on location outside the studio and connected back to the studio using ISDN, for example, such as a Telus Zephyr. The show's in-studio producer might use IFB to inform the host of the next caller or alert him or her that it's time for a commercial break. Let's go ahead and do that. Now, before ISDN codecs, some shows employed a field producer who would take notes from the studio by phone and then hand paper notes over to the talent. The feed from the back to the station was either equalized phone lines, if you had time to set that up, remote pickup like a Marty, or satellite backhaul. Analog phone line frequency extenders were sometimes used as well. No matter which methods were used, though, professional remote broadcasts required several people to handle them. Monitoring audio was typically off-air or from a reverse MARTI or two-way radio feed. And if you're as old as I am, you might be, remember, dip the program audio if you can hear me okay, right? How many of us have done that from the local Kmart store or the Ford dealer? Well, more recently, remote talent can use an internet connection for a local laptop to show either the station's automation system or the call management software, while simultaneously using that same internet connection for two-way live audio. In this picture, we have on the left there a remote done from a local pizza establishment in Nashville. They're using a Telos Zip 1. And as we mentioned, he's got a 4G, MiFi type connection, and uses his laptop to control the automation. And it's just one guy can do it. He can put himself on the air. On the right is, and I know Telos doesn't make a truly portable IP codec, but some people put them in a case like this. WSM in Nashville put that little case together. Now, still, most of the work in producing a call-in talk show is done back at the main studio. It's here that the board operator runs the console for the call-in talk show. The automation playout system is physically there. And importantly, the telephone talk show system resides at the main studio, so it can connect to phone lines and to the audio mixing console. Now consider the last and perhaps most difficult function to operate remotely, the call-in telephone talk show system itself. Traditionally, our phone lines are fixed in place with POTS or ISDN or maybe PRI service being broken out into ISDNs or even some POTS. Those require a fixed hardware installation or presence. Further, the hardware connections have been required between a telephone PBX or an on-air talk show system and the user's phones and control panels. So, you know, if you use a Telos 1X6 or a 2X12, you know, you've got that wired connection, and that's not IP. It's got to be a piece of wire. Now, this hardware connection implied that all of the phone system interaction had to take place locally to the phone lines and equipment. We couldn't just easily remote those functions to someplace or someone else, which might have been better. So we're going to examine three recent broadcast technology implementations in which the on-air talk show system is deployed in a non-traditional manner. The flexibility offered here by internet and private WAN connections allows for flexible options in citing different operational functions. So the studio, producers, and network headquarters and or the on-air talent can actually all be in diverse locations. Ooh. Those familiar with longtime radio host Art Bell may know that his studio is located in the Kingdom of Nye. Now that's a colloquial name given to the area around Pahrump, a city in Nye County, Nevada. By the way, that's also where Joe Talbot lives. Art has long created his various radio shows from this remote location using traditional telephone and ISDN technology. However, when restarting a new show a few years ago, Midnight in the Desert, a new Art Bell studio would depend on public internet for all connectivity to his show. Now, indeed, that was the challenge. Produce an entire national talk show using only an internet connection. And one more serious challenge stood in the way. The Kingdom of Nye studio is so remote that there was no wired internet connection available from any provider. The only available internet is through a wireless ISP. Despite the wireless delivery, this internet connection is providing all the services needed to produce a popular network talk show. And by the way, it even gets there by bouncing off a casino. So it's really out there. So one solid yet wireless internet connection has got to provide these functions. SIP phone lines for program listener callers, full bandwidth audio program transport to the net, to the NOC, and uplink. Also Skype connectivity for special guests to participate with Skype with good audio quality, and the usual web browsing, email, and chat services back to the NOC. So the Art Bell Studio represents an example of full production of a radio talk show in a very remote location. So thanks to remote VoIP SIP PBX hosting and a natively VoIP SIP talk show system, Callers from anywhere in the world can and do appear on the show every night. Skype connectivity is also IP-based, and it's convenient for recurring guests. Plus, Skype offers better audio quality than the PSTN, the public switched telephone network. Even without the ISDN phone lines, the high-quality program audio is sent out for uplinking and across the internet via web streaming, and it all travels over the same wireless IP connection. And here's a small point of trivia. Because Joe Talbot set this up, and Joe Talbot is a personal friend of mine and work colleague, my radio stations in Mississippi needed some PBX hosting. So we're actually on the exact same switch, the same PBX, the same asterisk, the same computer as all of Art Bell's callers are. And apparently I have root access, so I have to be real careful not to mess up Art Bell's show, which we'll get to in just a second. Because you say, well, Art's not on the air anymore. Well, that's true. Art went off the air after some threats to his family, and he was just sick and tired of that. So the show continues, not to leave this room, from the exact same studio with Heather Wade doing the show, being the talent on the show. She does everything except the uplink, but it works exactly as I described in the previous slides. So Heather Wade, wonderful lady, does the show exactly the same way that I described. And by the way, it's on the internet. So if you're in the mood for you can tune it on the internet and on. They have radio affiliates as well. So the second example here of good quality yet very remote workflow comes from KTOX in Needles, California. Now, being a local AM station in a small town, economy, doing this on the cheap is pretty important. It's also important to provide good quality audio. You want your listeners to be proud my son's the quarterback. He's playing, in tonight's game. You need to be comparable to that of stations in larger markets. And thankfully, this workflow lets that happen. So for many years, an ordinary telephone line was used to convey play-by-play coverage of local football games. So at best, the audio quality available on a POTS line is pretty challenging to the ear, especially for the full term of a football or other live sports broadcast. Well, many SIP desktop phones can use the G.722 codec, which is often touted as HD voice by telephone manufacturers. Now, I know in this room we're all engineers. For most of us, G.722 is probably our plan C. It's not our first choice in a codec. But for voice, for sports broadcasting, it's really okay. And it doesn't get on the nerves. It's 7.5 kilohertz, and it's okay. So and it's easy to do. There's so many things now that do G.722. There's even free software for your cell phone that does G.722. Software apps, as I just mentioned, are widely available for use on smartphones and tablets and PCs. And these apps can include G.722. So with G.722 in your tablet or your phone, and also in the radio station's on-air phone system, like a Telos VX system, it's possible to have good audio quality from an outside broadcast using equipment that you may already have. So if you already have a Telos VX in your radio station, then you've got G.722 already. And just generating it at the far end is not much of a challenge since it's so easy to get. So KTOX upgraded their studio on-air phone system to a multi-line, multi-studio SIP VoIP system. It usually uses G711, with normal phone calls, that's used on the public switch telephone network, and that's what a typical caller is going to use. However, the SIP protocol is codec agnostic. So you've heard of VoIP, that's any voice over IP. The SIP protocol would be a subset of VoIP. And again, SIP doesn't care what codec is used. It just will help arrange for a similar codec on both ends to get used. In fact, SIP is even good for video. So you're going to see that coming along as well. Calls made using SIP can use codecs that are better or are worse than G711. So that G722 codec is widely used for talk shows and live sports. It turns out that their SIP-based talk show system includes G722, as I mentioned, as well as G711. So how does the SIP call from the sports venue negotiating the G722 codec get from the remote site to the studio? Well, someday, maybe, hopefully, all the phone carriers will support G722 as well as other even better codecs like AMR wideband. A lot of you already have AMR wideband now. I know that probably as much as 5 years ago. My wife and I got fairly new, T-Mobile phones, and T-Mobile was the first carrier in the U.S. to implement AMR wideband. So she got an iPhone 5, which had AMR wideband, and I happened to get a Samsung Note 4, I believe it was, and they both had AMR wideband. So I tell people, hey, we called each other, and it sounded really good. So I, for the first time in my life, 5 years ago, I could understand my wife's mumbling. Oh, this is being recorded. I better be careful. Also, and you know, on most modern cell phones, have more than one microphone. This one, I believe, has two, and a lot of iPhones have three, I think. And there's a really high-tech chip inside a lot of cell phones nowadays that does noise reduction. A company called Ambience, I believe it's called Ambience, is the company in Silicon Valley. And they really do a great job of listening to all three microphones, determining what's noise and what's speech, and just getting rid of the noise. And they do it really well. So for now, the surest way to connect a soft phone app to a station's talk show system is going to be to use a local SIP PBX, or one in the cloud will work too. The point is you can't really go through your carrier. So what you're going to do is put an app on your phone, like Linphone, for example, or Bria soft phone, and register that app, not to your cell phone carrier. They don't want that. They've already got your phone registered. Register that app to a simple PBX, SIP PBX, at your studio, which, by the way, could be as simple as running on a Raspberry Pi. I've done that at my house, and it actually works. It's not the fastest GUI in the world, but we're not using the GUI. We're just, you know, making a phone call through it. In the case of other stations, you can put a small asterisk PBX in your station. You can buy an appliance for $200 to $800, or you can buy a computer and spend as little or as much as you want and put asterisk on that. So your phone gets registered to that, and then your SIP phone system, like a Telus VX, it registers also to that. And so you're just making an extension call. You bring up the app, you dial extension, whatever it may be, 4130, hit send, and you're ringing in on a line in the control room, and you're connected with 7.5 kilohertz of audio. Yes, you're using your data plan, but I don't know, so many plans are unlimited nowadays that it seems to work fine. So anyway, those two negotiate a G722 call if both ends have it, and you've got that on the air. Now, at sports venues with wired internet available, the station in question here, KTOX, uses a the wired internet connection. If they don't have it, then they use a little Wi-Fi Ethernet. They either use the Wi-Fi or they use one of those MiFi boxes to get 4G there. The big plan there is you got to have more than one source of internet. So even if the press box has wired internet, you're not in charge of it, so you don't know how many other people might be using it. Same thing for the local Wi-Fi. I mean, if half the stadium is on the Wi-Fi, then you're not going to get a good signal through. So you want to have a plan B and a plan C to provide yourself with some internet access. Now, the station not only does what I described, they do something else as well that's pretty crazy. The station uses an app to remotely control their console. The station owner is a little maniacal about this. He loves to run the football games himself, but he lives 500 miles away from the station and the stadium. So, rather than hire a board operator and risk, you know, the problems that you might have with an employee, he just runs the games himself from his house. He uses a combination of audio over IP infrastructure at the station, so it's a live wire setup with audio over IP. And then he uses that the SIP calling that we've been talking about, and an app that lets him remote control his audio console, and an app for to look at the automation system. And he just runs the broadcast himself. And apparently it works out really well. As I mentioned, he takes a lot of pleasure and pride in doing that, so there's a little map of where this all works out. He's getting really used to it. It runs really smoothly. And the play-by-play announcers connect to the studio, and then he just remote controls that from where he's at. So let's look at a third example here. This is kind of a big-time deal. Third example is the most dramatic and demonstrates that distance between production crew may be irrelevant when today's available technology is cleverly applied. A nationwide Sports Talk Radio Network launched a new call-in show, but the usual technical setup fell short of what they needed for their flexibility. It was clear that a new application of technology was going to be needed. The main studio is in New England, but the host wanted to work from another studio owned by the same company in North Carolina. Well, so far, so good. A remote host isn't too difficult to handle from a technical perspective, even across 700 miles. So, and they had plenty of fiber, really good connectivity between the North Carolina studio and the New England studio. But the show's chosen producer brought up a problem. He lived in Alabama, and he didn't want to move. So, and it was his job to screen the calls and produce the show. So he would need to be on the show's talk show system to screen callers, enter the caller details, schedule caller priority, plus be in touch with the control room in New England and the host in the North Carolina studio. Now, there was already that high-capacity fiber between North Carolina and New England, but the fiber connection would provide a conduit for quite a bit of what was going on. But at the producer's location, the only affordable IP connection would be public internet. So a solid high-speed connection was arranged for the show producer in Alabama. The connection would need to provide a conduit for several different functions. Remote call screener software, PC, tied to a similar call screener instances at the main studio and at the talent's desk. The producer's headset audio for real-time intercom, IFB, with the main studio and talent. They needed that constant communication. The caller telephone audio and call control for real-time call screening by the producer needed to happen over all this. And the producer had to be able to take the calls to air from his location and during commercial break, pick up a handset and talk to the callers privately or speak to the talent. And he ended up doing all this with this jet cockpit style setup. And what made it possible was, well, here, take a closer look at all these things that had to connect. So you've got, I won't go through them all, but you can see there are quite a few different things that had to go across this and had to all be configured, mostly with the console in New England, which itself was not an audio over IP console. This would have been easier if they had an AOIP network there, but they didn't. So they had lots of outboard mini boxes to perform different functions. But you can see all the things that had to go back and forth. The on-air talk show system required some really thoughtful consideration, however. Until recently, on-air phone systems were not at all designed for remote control and remote audio. They typically have used somewhat proprietary control protocols that don't lend themselves to remote extensions. So this sports talk show application would be possible only if such facility were available between the sites. So they put a new VoIP and IP audio-based talk show phone system in, and basically they got with the IT department at this network, and they described, look, really we need an extension of our network to appear in Alabama. And that was easy enough with VPN technology. So they just used VPN. It was because of the way a VX system needs to work, those phones, those control phones, do need to be on the same network, the same network segment, as either the WAN side or the LAN side. Doesn't matter, but they need to be on the same network segment. So for it to work out, they just had to provide VPN down to Alabama, and it turned out to all work. So the corporate IT department provided security oversight while they configured the proper VPN connectivity from each remote site. So it's encrypted. It affords both sides reliable IP connections, all on the same virtual network. So now the producer can answer and screen incoming calls from listeners. He can make outbound calls to get guests prepped to appear on air. And over that same VPN connection, the producer enters the caller info. He can even talk to the board operators in the master control room in New England and to the talent as well through his IFB in North Carolina. And by involving the corporate IT department, which was very helpful, they were very cooperative, they got this all to work within a matter of they spent a week on it or so. And it's all low latency, and it sounds really good. Works well. This third application, I think, really demonstrates the flexibility of IP-connected systems. Traditional audio connections over distance, like ISDN, or IP codecs are commonplace, no user had previously tried separating the talk show system components at these diverse work locations. But VPN connections avoided network address translations and allowed the phone system to be on the same logical LAN. Well, it's been 20 years since Telos founder Steve Church predicted that one day almost every piece of broadcast gear will have an Ethernet jack. And that prediction is almost completely realized today. Now, what's significant about our interconnected equipment is that now we can use it from diverse locations. We can broadcast with far better audio quality than before, and we can collaborate across geographic boundaries to configure and use and maintain these systems. And I'm done way early, so that's good. Any questions about any of these applications? Art Bell, Heather Wade, the guy at KTOX? Yes, sir, in the back. Yeah, so I guess we refer to these generically as an asterisk PBX. So, you know, just like the punctuation character, an asterisk. Asterisk is not real friendly. It's a command line PBX. But there are a number of companies that add a GUI on top of this. And one of the most popular ones is, in fact, the one that Art Bell uses, that my radio stations use. It's called FreePBX. So if you just look up free PBX, you'll find that it's available in distributions for Raspberry Pi or I guess on Linux. On a Raspberry Pi, you get the SD card, you plug it in, and bam, you know, the Pi just comes up and you give it some credentials, and there you go. I must say, even the simpler ones have a bit of a learning curve. So whenever we want to change an extension or something at our radio stations, okay, this is going to be a good 10 minutes, you know, to add or change an extension. But the cost is kind of makes it worthwhile. There are others. I was talking to a guy named Bob Newberry, who's the iHeart engineer in Birmingham, Alabama, and he's been using SIP PBXs, their appliances made by Elastics. I believe it's got an X on the end of that, so Elastics. And he really likes those, but there's probably a dozen different brands or more of asterisk-based PBX appliances. If you can, we didn't talk a whole lot about cost here, and I just want to tell you that, yes, I'm friends with Joe Talbot. We get our phone system for free. If we had to pay for the phone lines that Joe is providing to us, honestly, we would pay about $300 per year for our station's business phone lines. Now, yeah, we're a group of eight small stations in Mississippi, but usually we'd be paying $300 a month at probably each of these locations for our phone lines. So because we're using SIP and our PBX is in the cloud, and we are depending on public internet for every extension. Now, that can be a downside. You know, you need to have good internet. At my house, for example, I live in Nashville. I have a phone that's an extension off my radio station's phone system, and it just goes from my house to Denver, where Joe's PBX is hosted. And it works fine. Unless my internet's down, then it doesn't work at all. Same thing for the radio stations. As long as our internet's working fine, then it's good. My next goal for my little small town radio stations is to get two internet providers and a router that will balance or handle or hand off those two providers. So even in small town America, this is pretty doable. Oh, I'm sorry, way over here. Yes.
Hi there.
Hey.
I have a question leading up to the question here. I use a kind of a hybrid system, which is called managed IP. And what it is voice over IP, but it's carried on a CLEX circuit. And they actually manage the IP portion of that is on their network alone. It's not as cheap as pure SIP. It's not as expensive as a PRI, but there's also a lot less maintenance involved. And it's presented to us as SIP trunks versus, you know, so it looks just the same as SIP on a public internet, but it's on a managed network. Have you guys run into, you know, a lot of that? It seems to me like, for me at least, it was a great option because it didn't require me to be, you know, to actively manage those things and worry about the public internet at our building being okay and things like that. It's hosted on their T1 circuits, and that's their problem and not mine.
If I could address that real quick, as broadcasters, we expect, demand high reliability from our phone lines, right? Even the power's off, we kind of expect our phone lines to work as they had for years as POTS lines. So what Chris was talking about is a dedicated connection from a competitive local exchange carrier, or it could be from your incumbent carrier, although they're usually just as slow as a creaky wheel. So you got like XO Communications, and who's your provider there?
TDS.
TDS, okay. Yeah, we have that in the Nashville area as well. So Chris is talking about having those SIP lines come in over dedicated fiber or copper that you don't have to manage. They manage it for you, and that's a good option. Costs a bit more. I mean, what I'm doing is the rock bottom cheapest thing you can do, $1.40 per month per line, and 0.1 or 1.4 cents a minute is what it costs Joe to provide those for us, and what it would cost me if we were paying it all for ourselves. You're probably paying, I'm guessing, what, $20 a line a month or something?
Something along those lines, and it's actually unlimited calling, so we're not actually billed per minute on anything.
Yeah, cool. Yes, that's a real good option. In big cities, if you expect a huge call volume, I know that my colleague Joe Talbot still prefers to use PRI because there's you can have the phone company do the choking, even if you're not on a choke line, choke circuit per se. You can still have your telco arrange to only allow the right number of calls to come in over a PRI circuit. And then you can convert the PRI to SIP, or in an asterisk box, plug it into a PRI card, and bam.
That actually leads me to another question. I don't know if you've run into this, but we, at Radio Milwaukee, we had put in fiber and did voice over IP through, I don't recall the name, Next Vortex. And we actually had an issue with the studio line when we ran contests that they weren't prepared for the volume of calls coming in for that particular IP address and didn't know how to handle the response. Have you guys have had any tips or have run into that in certain stations where, you know, just the call volume to a certain extension has had a problem?
Wow. Joe could answer that exactly. My understanding from Joe typically, though, is this is the carrier or the provider's responsibility, and they have ways to handle it. They may not know what those ways are yet. They may have to call somebody in another office to find out, hey, Billy Bob, how do you handle this? But it's typically not a problem that the radio station can solve, right? So I can't tell you what to adjust, no. Yeah. Any more? All right, good. Well, I just want to encourage you to think, and you know, we got a whole batch of really good, forward-thinking, progressive broadcast engineers here. So you're probably the wrong crowd. I'm preaching to the choir. But I just see so many stations that are still doing things because, well, that's the way we've always done it. And there's just so many new possibilities now to get things done. My little podunk radio station in Mississippi, we were at some kind of a Taylor Swift concert in Little Rock, Arkansas. We gave away some tickets to it. We sent our morning guy over there, and we didn't even have the great ability to put him on the air live. So using Twisted Wave software and an iPad, he interviews Taylor Swift, gives it the right name, it pushes a button, it goes to Dropbox. It shows up in our automation system seconds later in a folder, and that folder is treated like whatever's in here, make it the next event. So he didn't have to do anything. He just did a correct intro and talking to Taylor Swift, you know, here in Little Rock, blah, blah, blah. We got the winners here, blah, blah, blah. And I'm DK Pierce on Q102. And then right back into the automation. And we can do all that now. And it's so fun and easy and can make radio sound exciting and fun that the way it should be. Thanks very much for your time and attention. I do appreciate it.